Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to begin with verses 12 through 31 here, and this title is The Body of Christ, the Church. The main lesson that we're taking with us, the Lord has arranged His church to be unified in its function by being made up of many differently gifted Christians. So we're diverse, but we're also unified all at the same time. Got a little story for you. The church is called the body, right? It's very biblical. And have you ever thought about what it would be like if the members of our physical bodies behaved sometimes like the members of our spiritual body? Listen to this little story. The heart said, "You know, I'm just stuck in a rut. For the last 45 years, all I do is beat and beat. That's it. I'm tired of it. It's time for someone else to step up and do this job. Okay, feet, it's up to you. You pump the blood." Well, the lungs joined in after that and said, "We are so underappreciated here. I don't think the other organs realize that they couldn't do their jobs without us. If we quit doing our job for a few minutes, everyone will finally see how valuable we are." The brain thinks he's big stuff, huh? Let him do without some oxygen for a while and we'll see how important he is. Then the liver joined in. The liver said, quote, "Why do I get all the dirty work? You think it's fun making bile? I've been in this body for 45 years now, and do you think anyone has ever asked me to make any decisions, pump the blood, or perform any functions that are noticeable outside the body? Sometimes I wonder why I bother." Then the appendix joined in. "Ha! Just watch the rest of those organs do all the work. Day after day, hour after hour, they work themselves to death. I'm just along for the ride. Why contribute when I can just sit here and get the same nutrients and oxygen that they get? Why get involved?" Are you a heart? Or are you a lung? Or are you a liver? Or an appendix? You get the idea, don't you? The point is that the individual parts that make up our bodies were created specifically for certain tasks within the body as a whole. And the body works as a finely tuned machine. And when all the parts do what they're uniquely gifted to do, the body is pretty an awesome thing, isn't it? Except for the appendix. They're rather unimportant, aren't they? Don't be an appendix. All right? Well, the Lord has arranged His body exactly the way He wants to do it. And fortunately, He has included us as a part of that body, uniquely gifted and necessary for the functioning of the church. I want you to hear that today. You are important for the functioning of this local body of believers. Not one member is unimportant. All right? So, the first thing that we learn here in point number one of the message is this: the church from the many through Christ, one. Sort of reminds you of our national motto, doesn't it? E pluribus unum. From the many, one. Look at what God's word says in verse 12. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." Well, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, all of your word is without error. All of your word is important. All of your word is for the church. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you dwell within us and you illumine our hearts and minds, that not only can we understand the word, but we can see the significance and importance of that word, and also that we need to submit to it. And so we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work. And we know that your word is truth. And so this morning we just asked, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, to give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a taste for the treasure of your word, for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. From the many, through Christ, we are one. Now, let me begin by telling you a little bit about a church that maybe you know. This church probably is not unlike many churches that have ever existed. This church had members who had problems with the leadership. Some liked the leadership, some didn't like the leadership. Some wanted to keep the leadership, some didn't want to keep the leadership. Some would say, well, I follow this guy, and I follow this guy, and then the holier than thou said, well, we follow Jesus. You ever known a church like that? Well, that was a part of this church's fabric. Not very flattering, is it? Well, there's another part of this church's fabric that was not very pleasing either. Not only did they have squabbles over the leadership, but they also had problems with idolatry. They loved their stuff. I mean, all to the point that they displaced Jesus Christ because of their stuff. And part of their stuff was the stuff in the church that they liked. Well, my mama gave that. Well, you see that plaque on the back of that pew? My great-granddaddy gave the money for that pew. You see that carpet? They idolized their stuff. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I think there's a commandment about that. Somewhere, is that in the Bible somewhere about idolatry? Well, there was also another problem in the church. There was sexual immorality in the church of a kind that not even the pagans partake in. That a son would have his father's wife. Now, I've seen some gross sexual sin, but that is one of the grossest ones that I can ever think of. Can you imagine sexual immorality in the church? So they had a problem with leadership. They had a problem with idolatry. They really liked their stuff. They had a problem with sexual immorality in the church. Not only that, but they were divided. Can you imagine why? This church squabbled back and forth amongst its members. I mean, one would get upset with another and they'd just go at it. Sometimes even in the midst of worship, they'd get up and start fighting, just abusing one another. Not only that, but they had a problem with two members that just couldn't ever get along. They were just mean and nasty to each other. Does it sound like a church that you know of? Do you want me to tell you the name of the church? Not sure, right? How about the First Baptist Church of Corinth? The church that I just described to you in part, at least, is the Church of Corinth. Paul is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's being written down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, all the ugly details about the church of Corinth. Now, we're not talking about the church invisible. We're talking about the church visible, that local body of believers that is meant to represent Jesus Christ in their context. This was the church of Corinth. Now, why did I share that with you? For this one reason. Do you see the importance of what Paul is writing to the church? We are many, but we are supposed to be one. And until we get a hold of the sin problems in the church and the little pettiness in the church, it is going to disrupt the oneness that the church is supposed to have. Do you see that this ideal that Paul is preaching is just this wonderful spiritual truth that every church is to aspire to? That when we become a part of this body, we become intertwined in each other's life. We become, when one hurts, the other hurts. When one rejoices, the other rejoices. And the reason why is because from all of us, uniquely different, gifted, and yet same people, we are to become one, a force to be reckoned with. And really, the only means to do that is through Christ Jesus and Him alone. This is a supernatural truth that Paul is preaching about, that the church is supposed to be a collection of uniquely different Christians who will become one body for the sake of Christ and for each other's good. I bet you've heard that message preached before. And it still needs to be preached today. We've got a pretty good fellowship here, don't we? Amen? We really do. Aren't you glad we don't have sexual immorality in the church? Aren't you glad we don't have members that don't like each other? Aren't you glad that everyone likes the leadership in the church? Am I stepping on your foot? Or your feet? You see, we sit back and we think, we love each other, and we do, sort of. But what I'm telling you is we got a lot of room to grow here, church family. Amen? We got a lot of room to grow. And when we grow, guess what happens? We become better. We become better. And that's the point here, is that we're not just a church on the corner, but we're a Holy Spirit-filled, God-empowered, Jesus Christ-loving, Bible-thumping, loving people who care deeply for one another. And when other people see that, hopefully that's something that they want to become a part of. Amen? And some unbeliever will come in here and say, I need to be loved on by these people. And we'll say, well, listen, you got to become a Christian in order to do that. To become a member of this church, first, you need to place your faith in Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and become a part of this body. You know, it is sometimes apparent that we truly don't understand what church membership means. It's apparent that we sometimes behave like the heart, the liver, and the lung that I had that illustration to begin with. We get absorbed in self and what self wants, and we think that that's the most important thing. We become envious of what somebody else has, or we become jealous because I'm not the front person. I'm just the one that does all the work and gets no attention. We get a little envious, we get a little jealous, we get disturbed in our own self, and before long, we become like the appendix. We think we're not important, but we really are. How many of you guys know how many systems are in the body? There's 10 systems within the body. There is the skeletal system, the muscular system, the nervous system, the endocrine system, the cardiovascular system, the lymphatic system, the respiratory system, digestive system, urinary system, and the reproductive system. 10 of them. What would happen if at least one of those systems didn't work? Think about this for a minute. What if we didn't have bones? What would we be? We'd be a blob, wouldn't we? We'd be a jellyfish. We'd be a blob. Have you ever tried to see a blob move? You know, blobs can move downhill pretty good, but going uphill is a different thing. We would be a bunch of blobs. And really, if you think about it, when members decide that they don't want to come or they don't want to be a part or their feelings are hurt and because they're going to go do something else, part of the bone structure is removed. And we might not be a full blob, but we've got parts of our bodies that don't work. Not the way they should. So here at the beginning of the year, I want to set this straight, and that is, if you're a member of Liberty Baptist Church, you're important, and we need you. We need you to come in and be a part of the overall oneness of this body. Does that mean, Pastor David, that I have to agree with everything? No, it doesn't. But you got to be very careful how you disagree. My dad would always tell me, he said, son, you can tell me whatever you want to tell me, but you better be careful how you tell me. And by all means, we're going to have disagreements. And that's okay. But we need to be careful how we have disagreements. You see, it got so bad in the Corinthian church that there were divisions. Divisions. And we don't have time for that here at Liberty Baptist Church, do we? Amen. So you're important. Each member is important. You have different jobs that you can do here. And we each do our work. We each do our job. We're each a member as a part of the whole. We're interdependent. We depend on the others as they depend on us. Liberty Baptist Church, we have many members, but we need to continue to work towards oneness in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we need to think rightly when it comes to being a part of a local body of believers. Jesus said, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Now, this is a question I want you to think about. In making decisions as an individual member, we need to ask ourselves this question. In making this decision, in making this choice, how will it affect the body of Christ? That's the way we need to think about things in our lives. Because, you know, we're a part of the body whether we want to be or not. We are a part of the body of Christ. And we are called to be one in Him for His glory and for our good. So from the many, through Christ, one. Charles Schulz wrote the Peanuts cartoon, which I'm sure you're aware of that. And in this particular cartoon, Lucy demanded that Linus change the TV channels, threatening him with her fist. He said, "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" To which Lucy said, "These five fingers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Linus said, "Which channel would you like to have?" And then he turned around and he said to his hand, "Boy, I sure do wish you guys could get as organized as hers." Vesta Kelly once wrote, Snowflakes are one of nature's most fragile things, but just look at what they can do when they stick together. Just look at the force the church is if we'll just stick together. Amen? Amen. Well, the second thing we see here is not only is the church one from many, one in Christ, but in verse 13, Paul talks about the origin of the church, and this is very significant. And point number one is this, the church from the Spirit, that is, from the Holy Spirit. Look with me at verse 13. For in one Spirit, in your Bibles, that's a capital S, so what does that signify? The Holy Spirit, divinity here, so Paul is writing about the Holy Spirit. And he's writing about it in the context of the local church. All right? If just a little getting ahead, but without the Holy Spirit, we can't be the church. Okay, so, for in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. What does Paul mean by drink of one Spirit? Think about this. When we were born again, we were what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. When you drink water, when you fill yourself with water, how do you do that? You drink, right? So the idea here is, as we have drunk of the Holy Spirit, we have done what? We have become what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? We have become filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to give you a news flash here. Let's do a little bit of... Y'all join with me here, okay? If you are a believer, if you don't mind, would you just raise your hand? Just declare, yes, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Proudly. Some of you guys are like... Ron's back there going, proudly, we are believers. Not proudly because of anything we've done, but we're just so thankful for what the Lord's done for us, right? And we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the news flash. I want you to know that. You are a Christian. You are filled to the tippy top with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not expecting any of you guys to get up and start jibber-jabbering. That's the least of all the gifts. And it seems like the one everybody wants to do because they get the attention for it. But I don't know if you've ever been in a church where there's people speaking in tongues. I've been there, and it is a little scary. And I didn't see not one person get up and interpret, which made me think that I don't know if they were filled with the Holy Spirit or something else. Because if you're going to speak in tongues, you also have to have what? An interpreter. All right? That's a sure sign, unless you're both faking it, that you're really filled and speaking the gift of glossolalia. All right? So, the point I'm trying to make is this. We are many gifted people, right? We not only are gifted with certain talents, but we are gifted with gifts of the Holy Spirit as well. The Holy Spirit has gifted us. You say, well, what are some of the, how about the fruit of the Spirit? How about those? All right. How about generosity? How about teaching? Preaching? Those kinds of gifts. All right. Leadership gifts. We're all gifted. And it goes back to that point I made earlier, is that we're all important. God has gifted you in such a way that you are important to the very local body of believers that you're a part of, because in some way, that gift is to be used right in that local body of believers. And without you using the gift that God's given you in that context, then a piece of the system is missing. A piece of the body is missing. Now, I know many of you think, well, I did mine 20 years ago. Right? I'm on the sidelines. Well, I'm going to tell you that's not true. You're needed desperately here at Liberty Baptist Church. Your wisdom, your spirit, your body, you're needed here at Liberty. Every one of us. All right. So that really got into another message about the Holy Spirit, but I'm sorry about that. You got that for nothing this morning. Another reason here the church is from the many can be one is because we can be united not only because of Jesus Christ's work, but because of the Holy Spirit work as well. We are all baptized into one body. That's what we're learning here. We're all baptized into one body, the body of Christ. We're all made to drink from one Holy Spirit. That is, we're all supposed to be filled with one Holy Spirit. But oftentimes, we leave out the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, in matters of the church. But not the Apostle Paul here. The Apostle Paul is bringing this to our attention that the Holy Spirit is vital to the life of the church. And we can quench the Spirit, the Bible says, if we're not careful. And so the Holy Spirit is more than just some kind of force out there. It is a force in here. It is a force that makes the church the church. Oneness in the body comes as a result of the Holy Spirit baptism. It comes as a result of that. So here's the question that comes from the text. It simply is, how is the body of Christ, that is the church, formed? And Paul gives us the answer under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, for in one Spirit we were all baptized into what? One body. So the Holy Spirit is at the foundational level of the church's foundation. We are built from the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism here is not talking about the sacrament of baptism that we do up here in the baptismal pool. That's not what it's talking about. Every believer should be baptized. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, as Baptists, we believe you should be submerged because that's what the Greek word baptizo means. It means to be submerged. Every believer should be submerged, baptized, because that is an outward symbol, an outward sign of a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. It's a symbol of we have been buried with Christ and raised to newness with life in Christ, so that we are His. It's like a wedding band, if you will. It's a symbol of that. Of that connectedness to Jesus Christ. And that's it's just an outward confession of an inward transformation. That baptism should be public before the church. But here, Paul is referring to the moment a person is born again of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul is talking about here when it comes to this, we were all baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit. One theologian says there is only one Spirit, Holy Spirit, the baptism of Christ with the Spirit that all believers receive when they are born again. So if we are true believers then, that came about as a consequence of a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. And you may have known when it happened and you may not have known when it happened. But it is a consequence of being born of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when talking with Nicodemus, said this, Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but You do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is a mysterious, supernatural, private work. And he does it wherever he wishes and whenever he wishes. Now, how do you know that you're born again of the Holy Spirit? Because you begin to realize the truthfulness that you're a sinner and that you need the Savior, Jesus Christ. You can hear the gospel all your life and not know the significance of it until the Holy Spirit births you again, and then all of a sudden, the lights go on, and you say, I am a sinner, and I need to repent of my faith, repent of my sins, and place my faith in Jesus Christ. And guess what? You are saved. But that comes as a consequence of the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. That's when we truly have liberty to choose Jesus Christ and not before that. And so without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a sinner will and can only remain in their sin. But when a sinner is born again of the Holy Spirit, they're baptized into one body. That automatically happens, the body of Christ, the church. And so it's through that baptism of the Holy Spirit from the many, we have one body of Christ, the church. One theologian says, one Holy Spirit baptism establishes one church, the body of Christ. And then Paul goes into something very interesting here that I think is very appropriate, not only for that day, but for ours. He says that you're baptized into one body. Then he says, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. So what Paul is telling us here is, the church can be made up and is made up of multi-ethnic groups. In Paul's day, you were either a Jew or you were a what? A Gentile. That's what you were. Nothing in between. You were one of those two cultural groups, societal groups. And so when he talks about right here in the text that Jew or Greek, which means Gentile, he's saying, listen, in the church, all cultures become one. He also talks about money here, doesn't he? That rich people, poor people, black people, white people, Jewish people, non-Jewish people, all become one in Jesus Christ. You know, what our culture today does not need is critical race theory. They need Jesus theory. Amen. And what the Bible tells me is that the church on earth can look like heaven above. Are you with me? Now, I just want to tell you something. Now, this may come as a surprise to some of you, but I don't think it will. There will be more than just white people in heaven. Okay? And we all know that. I'm just trying to make a point here. That in Jesus Christ, we're supposed to see past color. We're supposed to see past economic differences. Because we are all one. And what happens to one also affects the other. Are you with me? Are you with me? So there you go. There you go. All Christians drink from the same Holy Spirit faucet. We're all filled with the one Holy Spirit. And that's why the church can be diverse and unified all at the same time. One more story here. Several years ago, Donald Gray Barhouse, Pastor Barhouse, shares this story. He says, several years ago, two students graduated from the Chicago Kent College of Law. Two students. The highest ranking student in the class was a blind man named Overton. And when he received his honor, he insisted that half of the credit should go to his friend, and I don't know how to say his name. It begins with a K, so I'm just going to use Mr. K. Now, this is how their story goes. They had met one another in school when the armless Mr. K had guided the blind Mr. Overton down a flight of stairs. This acquaintance ripened into a friendship and a beautiful example of interdependence, which is what Paul's teaching here. The blind man carried the books of the armless man, and the armless man who could see read aloud to the blind man who couldn't see. And together they overcame and compensated for each other's differences. So the one who could see would read for the one who couldn't, and the one who couldn't carry his books, the other one who could would carry his books. They were uniquely different, but they were what? One in function. That is a picture of us, of how we're supposed to be. And the reason we can be that way is because of the Holy Spirit baptism. We are one in the Holy Spirit. Charles Spurgeon said, "Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire, we are useless." So without the Holy Spirit, there would be no unified body of Christ, but because of the Holy Spirit, we can be unified. Now, some of you guys are thinking, well, that was a pretty simple, basic sermon, and it was. But it's just the truth of Scripture, and it's something that we need to be reminded of here at the beginning of 2022. We are all interdependent upon one another. And we need to keep that kind of mentality as we walk through this year together. Each gifted uniquely so that we can all come together and form a functioning body for the glory of God and for our good. All right? So that's part number one. Part number two comes next Sunday. And I can tell y'all can't wait to get back. So let's pray together right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word and just the truth that it teaches us. And we need to hear the truth. We need to know it because the truth can set us free to be the very church that you would have us to be. And so, Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.